Open our Bibles to the second epistle to Peter in chapter 1, please. 2 Peter in chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Down the chapter. Verse 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May God bless to us these scriptures that we have read and anything that should be said. For many years after I was converted, in the year 1951, I had problems with this verse. I couldn't seem to understand how different ones would be getting to heaven, some so forcibly and so abundantly, and others were just getting inside the door. Until attending the conference in Arlington, it was made clear that in this verse, regarding this abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom, was not our going into heaven, but how we're going to come out of heaven to be associated with the Lord Jesus and his coming kingdom. And that makes sense. But there's a great responsibility that is upon us, laid upon us, that besides faith in Christ, there's something we must do. And the first thing we must do, and that's what we want to deal with this afternoon at the opening part of the meeting, is what we have read together in verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Sitting with my wife, she says, what does it mean? Being Dutch, she doesn't understand all these terminologies in Scripture. And we said, it just means courage. And the one that's telling us to have courage is the one that didn't have any courage. You turn early in the Scriptures in the book of the Acts, and we're going to do that. You find this very same Peter, so impetuous in his nature. He's denying the Lord before a maid, a young girl. And yet when you read on, you see the great difference and the life of the Apostle Peter, who is now encouraging us to have courage. That's the very thing that he received, not before the cross, not before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But will you turn with me, please, now to the book of the Acts? We want to just lift a few verses here regarding this man, Peter. Let's turn to Acts chapter 4 and verse 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people. There's power in the spread of the word, isn't it? And preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them, put them in hold, in prison, until the next day, for it was now even time. Now come down the chapter, please, in verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, this is the same Peter that denies the Lord, as maybe we have many times, in simple circumstances before me. Here's the same Peter, now empowered by the Holy Spirit. Not only the fact that he was indwelt by the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit beginning to work in his life effectually. And it says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men like ourselves, they marveled and he took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Listen, brethren, that's the secret. Not only knowing Christ, but being with Christ. And then you come down the chapter in verse 17, but that it spread no further. I'm just picking out a few verses. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them. But they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called him, Peter and John, commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot speak, but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And notice down in verse 29 of verse chapter 5, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Add to your faith virtue, courage. And Peter, who is exhorting us this afternoon through his ministry to have courage, is the very one that lacked it, but he did get it. And the secret, I see, is in chapter 4 and verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. May God bless us with these precious words. We want to look at a few characters in the scriptures that exemplified courage in their life. One is a lady, a woman, and the other are men. So we turn now to the Old Testament, please, in Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24. And of course, if we took time to read it, our brethren that is behind me wouldn't have any chance to speak this afternoon. So we're going to lift out a few things here, a few thoughts, regarding a woman that had courage to say no. And brethren, in the day in which we live, there are many areas of our life that we're going to have to be able to have the courage to say no. And here's one. And it's even Rebecca. Remember how Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, goes to find a bride for Isaac? Lovely, typical truth. And it comes this far that Eliezer's in the house of Laban, brother and mother and the others in the family. And we read here in Genesis chapter 24 and verse 50. Genesis 24 and verse 50. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her. Go. And let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Verse 54, and they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning and said, send me away unto my master. But notice, and her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. And he said, Eliezer, unto them, hinder me not. Seeing the Lord hath prospered my way, send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel, and inquired her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. I would see in this person, Rebecca, one that had the courage to break the ties of natural affection, which wasn't easy. There must have been some things going on in her spirit, and I would say it was twofold. First of all, the exercise of faith, and then a love that was springing up because of the way Eliezer was speaking to her about her master and her master's son, Isaac. Faith in someone she'd never seen. And brethren and sisters, that has been your and my experience. Peter says, whom, having not seen you love? And though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of the soul. A tie was now going to be broken. And she was going to move out towards a person she had never seen. I don't know if she entered into it, but I think typically I find that Isaac has died for Rebecca in Genesis chapter 22. When he went up to the Mount of Moriah, and in figure he did give his life because Abraham believed God would bring him back from the dead. And what Isaac has done for Rebecca, Jesus Christ has done for us. He has died the just for the unjust in order to bring us to God. But not only does he die for Rebecca in Genesis 22, but at the close of Genesis 24, she dies in Isaac. And that's a much deeper truth we've got to understand. Not only did Christ die for our sins according to the Scripture, but when our heart goes out to Christ, we've died with him to be raised to walk in newness of life. In Genesis 22, he becomes the heir of all things. Read it for yourself in the same chapter. In chapter 24, she becomes fellow heirs with Isaac with all that he has. Oh, how rich, brethren, we have become today because of our link with a mighty man of wealth. No small thing, but ties must be broken. And if you're in the meeting this afternoon, and family ties or a boyfriend or a girlfriend or any other tie is hindering you from coming out to the heavenly Isaac, you need to break it today and be bound to another person that you've never seen. I'll never forget it. Into the Calvinistic home of our family, 9 children and a father and mother. He's not here this afternoon, therefore I'll speak about Brother John. When I think about Brother John, I always get a little something that moves my little heart. John went away as a lad of 16 to meetings in Woodland Drive. Sam McEwen was a speaker. They thought there was no blessing, no apparent blessing. But a boy of 15 years of age, coming home one night, he stood under the starry heavens, Brother John. Lord Jesus, I will trust thee with my soul. Guilty, lost, and helpless, thou canst make me whole. He told nobody because as Calvinists, we don't wear our religion on our elbows. But what was sown, what was revealed that day took place, and he was born of God, and he said it to no one. Went overseas and was baptized at the conference at Bath in the presence of Brother Vine at those days. And returning, I'm talking about ties that have to be broken. And when he returned, he tried to go back with us to the Reformed Church, the Dutch Calvinistic Church. He did it for 3 months. One time, Wednesday evening, at the meal table, he says, Dad and Mother, he says, I must tell you something. I'm not having any fellowship in the church meetings. My place is with the brethren and sisters at the Gospel Hall, meeting in Christ's name. My father was a true Calvinist who taught us the fear of God and reverence for the Word of God. But he was a Calvinist and he was a Dutchman. And he stood up and he began for about an hour to speak to my brother, and we're all in fear and trembling. John said nothing. Quietly stood up, knowing his place of submission and subjection. Took his Bible and little hymn book. Moved because he had to get there by 8 o'clock for the prayer meeting. Old Cedar Cottage Gospel Hall. This is the point. My father stood up and went to the window. He says, "Listen, children. You can't say anything against John." I says, "He's owning up to the truth now." That stuck with me, and 4 years later I was brought to Christ. But ties had to be broken. And he was going to honor God above even his parents. He knew his place. Like Rebecca, brethren and sisters and younger ones, you need to have the courage to say no. Go on and be bound to a heavenly Isaac. Learn to love him. Serve him. Chapter 39. If in Rebecca we have a woman that has the courage, and we do need to add to our faith in Christ this courage, if she had the courage to break family ties, to be bound to another tie with Isaac. Here we have this man, Joseph. Joseph had the courage to say no to a severe test and trial and temptation. Notice the words. I haven't got time to read it all. It's worth reading. Verse 7. She's already tried to entice him. Notice verse 7, "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, 'Lie with me.' But he refused." He had the courage to say no. Charles Haddon Spurgeon has written many books, but one I would advise and encourage younger brethren to read. My lectures to my students. He gave the very best he had to those that were going to become evangelists and preachers. And this one, with others, stuck with me. He says, "Students, I was always glad that two things never came at the same time. Desire and opportunity." In the case of Joseph here, there's opportunity, but there's no desire. Why? God was with him. That's going to preserve the speaker, the younger ones especially, from getting into sin and immorality and tampering with things that only belong to the marriage relationship. Sin will break fellowship with God, not shortcomings, not faith. Sin will mar your testimony. Sin will put a brother or sister in the assembly by way of excommunication outside on Satan's ground. Listen, not only the young, the speaker needs to be aware of this too. Here's Joseph. And what's the secret? Why did he have the courage to say no when the temptation of immorality was there? It says this, notice in verse 9.
Read verse 8, but he refused and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wanteth not what is with me in his house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. He had a respect for his master, and he knew his place in the home. And then it goes on to say, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Oh, sin, sin, sin. That will not only damn the unconverted soul in hell forever, but it'll mar the testimony of a brother or sister. I wrote a letter here when I was away from the assembly to a young sister keeping company with an unsaved person, and she was born faithfully to wait and let God. God could have used her to bring her under the sound of the gospel. But don't let romance enter into it. Because a man that's unconverted, he's not interested in spiritual things. Something else he's interested in. Let's not fool ourselves. I says, leave him with God. And if it's God's intentions that he be your husband, let him remove the difficulty. Don't you try to do it. Well, you know what happened? Excommunication followed. We grieve, and I say, as part of the assembly, where have I failed? Hasn't there been the spirituality to retard evil and sin amongst us? Are you in the meeting this afternoon? You're keeping company with a girl and a boy. You're getting to the place where it's not only circumstances, an opportunity, but the desire is there. Spurgeon said, that man of God, I was glad that none of these two things passed my way. I'm thankful. In some measure we can say that. Although you don't need to wait until you're 45 to go into the marriage vow. But something will sustain us. And if you read in the Psalms especially, it always says that God was with Joseph. That's the preserving care. That's the only thing that will preserve us. The day of difficulty. Daniel, please. See, my time is almost gone. Well, I don't want to steal because the Bible says thou shalt not steal, so it'll go quick, the next couple of statements. In Rebecca, here we have one that was adding to her faith. Virtue, courage. She had the courage to break a tie, a family tie, in order to be tied to Isaac. In Joseph, we have one that is under the grave temptation. He has the courage to say no. He refused with all his might. Ran from sin as like a poisonous rattlesnake. Marvelous in the Bible. I would say that sin is worse than Satan. Because Satan's on the outside. And I'm told in the scripture, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw unto you. But when it comes to sin, you just flee it. Sin is always from within. I like to read that scripture before I pass on. James chapter 1. I think it's in keeping with our Joseph experience here. James chapter 1, please. I've got down over verse 12, Joseph. And above verse 14, I've got David. Let's see if it adds up. My brethren will correct me very quickly, and I don't mind it. We're wrong. James chapter 1 and verse 12. Think of Joseph while we read this. Blessed is the man or the woman that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. And today, after thousands of years, Joseph is being lifted up as an example for a young man or young woman to follow in the morality of their life. Now, David. Verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But it says every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. David. And enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin with its finish bringeth forth death. Yes, when we think of David. I love God because in His book He never covers things up. He gives us a balanced ledger. Not only the good points of David, but these low spots. And here's David because he's enticed. He's at the wrong place. At the wrong time, he should have been out in the battlefield with the soldiers. He's back there, pleasing himself, and he's enticed. He follows the enticement. He gets into sin, tries to cover it up, and he committed two things for which there was no sacrifice in the Old Testament. He committed adultery, taking another man's wife, and he committed murder, causing Uriah the Hittite to fall in the field of battle as all the men withdrew and he was exposed to the warfare and the armaments. No sacrifice for those two things. Only stoning, and yet God spared him. Yet the governmental dealings of God went on and he lost four of his own children because of it. You don't sin cheaply, dear child of God. It's much heartache and sorrow of heart. So we find that'll be sufficient for that. Daniel chapter 1. I've got 3 minutes on the next 2 points. Here's Daniel. And what do we read about Daniel? He has the courage to say no. When he refused to eat at the king's table. He had been eating at another table. And although he's a young man, he's got no parental restraint right now other than the teaching embedded in his heart. He had not only the word of Israel in his head, but he had it in his heart. Because we read in verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart. Here's where he said no. He purposed in his heart, the Bible says, that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. He had conviction. He was the same here in Babylon as he was back with the Israelites. He's not a two-faced believer. He's consistent with his convictions. See, conviction is not opinions. We all have opinions. They are man-given, man-made. But convictions originate out of the wholesome Word of God. It's the Word of God in our heart that causes us in the time of trial and testing to say no. And he did that very thing. He was governed by principle and not by circumstance. Daniel. And of course, he is an encouragement to the other three friends. Shall we turn now to chapter 3? And I've got just about a minute and a half on this. Daniel chapter 3. And the great image is set up. Daniel chapter 3. And the great image is set up. And of course, they're forced like all the others to bow. But these men have the word of God in their heart. And notice what we read here in Daniel chapter 3. And we'll come down for the sake of time. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, they're right direct to the point. They didn't even get time to be courteous, maybe. They didn't say, oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, oh, Nebuchadnezzar. They were all that in their heart, they had made the choice. We are not careful. In verse 16, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter.
Here's men, three of them, and they had the courage to say no, because what they were asked to do was contrary to their allegiance to God and the principles revealed down in their Jewish law. And you can see as you go down the chapter, there was the demonstration of their light, of their faith in verse 12. Verse 21, here you have the trial of their faith. Then these three men were bound in their coats, their hoses and their hats, and their other garments were cast into the midst of the fiery furnace. Notice what happens. Verse 27. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire passed upon them. There you have the trial of their faith. The triumph of their faith, they came out even in a better position than they went in. The only thing was that was burned were the things that bound these men as they were cast